Turn to the book of Luke. If you were here this morning in our morning service, I had told you what the topic was going to be on tonight, the power of prayer. We want to talk about the power of prayer. And got to working on this message earlier this morning before AM Bible study, and really got to putting it together and looking at it. Just wanted to look at some of the common aspects of prayer, probably some of the common mistakes that we make in prayer, maybe the common missing attributes that we have in our life. Quite often, the greatest thing missing in our prayer life is prayer itself. Okay, it's prayer itself. I believe prayer is probably the most vital resource that we have as Christians in our preparatory measure for spiritual warfare in this life. But I think it's also something that's underutilized, and it's probably the most difficult thing to do. Most people can sit down and read, you know, 10, 15, 20 chapters. You can do that if you're a reader, especially, without problem. I sat down yesterday and read several chapters in the book of Psalms, and then, you know, five chapters in Romans and five in Joshua, and I love reading Joshua. I was telling a buddy of mine, Brother Tooley, I text him. I'd sent him my workout from yesterday morning. It was like four workouts. And I said, you read the book of Joshua before you work out, buddy. I'll tell you, you'll train hard too. It just makes you want to get in there and do things. You know, I said, we train to be stronger, so we can serve the Lord longer. That's an idea that we need to really kind of carry about, especially in the Independent Baptist movement. We can try to get most of our Independent Baptists out of McDonald's and Burger King and KFC and get them on a treadmill or get them on in a weight room somewhere so they can be stronger, so they can be healthier, and so they can serve the Lord longer. Amen. I always find it funny how so many stipulations are placed in the Baptist movement today, and you know this type of dress and this type of speech and this right here. But then when you sit down at the table, you know, like Dad would always say, you can go back for seconds. You have this big mound sit on the plate, and you know, we need to be balanced people. We need to be moderate in our lifestyle. But I do think we ought to work to be as healthy as possible and be as strong as possible so we can serve the Lord longer. And you get inside the book of Joshua, and it just makes you want to be busy for God. It makes you want to work. It makes you want to fight that spiritual war, warfare. And my favorite part over there is when he sees a man and the sword is drawn, he says, are you for us or them? I'm paraphrasing a bit. And the answer was, nay, I'm the captain of the Lord. Nay. And boy, Joshua fell to his knees in worship. And that was a pre-incarnate image of the Lord Jesus Christ, a theophany as we know it, the angel of the Lord. Luke chapter 11 this evening. Luke chapter 11, if you can turn there tonight. We're going to get into this point, this topic of the power of prayer. The power of prayer. In Luke chapter 11, looking in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 9. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of thy word tonight. Ask that it may be near and dear to our heart. We pray this evening, dear God, that you would bless us, Lord, and that you would answer, Father, the prayers that will come before thy throne this evening in the manner that you would see fit. Father, we pray as we enter into this Bible study time tonight that you would take your word, you would write it upon our hearts, you'd give us clarity of thought and understanding, dear Father, that you would move in a great way, dear God, and help us understand, and not only understand, but exercise, Father, the power of wonderful and glorious prayer, exercising that position as a royal priesthood as we are. we may be able to beseech thee, Lord, that we can come before thy throne, make our petition known to you, dear God, freely, willfully. We love you and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. The time of prayer for the Christian, guys, is one of the most glorious times they can have on this side of heaven. It's something that you will not have once you go on the other side of glory. Once we get to heaven, you're not going to have that prayer time. You're going to have a lot of praise time. We're going to be praising God, and that's going to be wonderful. We're going to love to praise His name night and day. We're going to praise His name in eternity. There'll be no need of the sun, as the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will shine about. There'll be a lot of praising when we get to heaven. Won't be any prayer. Prayer is a glorious event that we can have and partake and enjoy on this side of glory. We know when we read the Bible, when we read the Word of God, we hear from God. He speaks to us from His Word and by His Word, not by some audible voice. But when we pray, God hears from us. Prayer is a time of communication with the bride to the bridegroom. Prayer has always been at the forefront and foundation of a mighty nation, because a nation that prays is a nation that stays. I know this tonight, that my wife and I, if we never had a conversation with one another, or if it was always a one-sided conversation, if I was to come into the house and I would say, Denise this, Denise this, Denise this, Denise this, Denise this, Denise this, and then I never got anything in return, she gave me the cold shoulder, it'd be a pretty rough relationship, wouldn't it? Well, see, guys, when you read your Bible, there's a lot of people that take pride in reading 40 chapters a day, and great, praise God for it, do it. If you read 40 chapters a day but spend no time in prayer, that's a one-sided relationship. That's a one-sided relationship. God wants to hear from us as much as He wants to speak to us and bear witness through His precious Word. So the Lord offered to His disciples simple instructions, not only how to pray, but why to pray. And the first thing that He says, He makes it very simple. He tells them to make a simple petition, to ask. He says, make a petition. Look there in verse 9. He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. He says, ask. Christ doesn't offer a 7-point plan of prosperity, but rather He instructs the disciples to make a petition to the Lord. And we must just simply ask the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple tonight. In verse 10, in the very first part, the Bible says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Beloved, everyone that asketh, receiveth. You will always receive an answer to your prayers. There will always be an answer to your petition. Guys, you must first ask. One will never receive an answer for that which they did not ask. Look over in the book of James, if we will, real quick. We'll see a correlation between these two. Hold your place there in the book of Luke for a moment. If you look in James chapter 4 and look in verses 1 and 2, notice what we find here concerning this prayer. Beloved, Jesus Christ says, ask and it shall be given unto you. And I'm going to ask you this simple question this evening. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe if the Lord says, ask, it'll be given unto you? James chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have and have not, because ye ask not. Guys, we have not the answers to our prayers in this life tonight because we haven't asked 9 times out of 10. So I ask you this question. If Jesus Christ says, ask and it shall be given to you, if by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, James writes down and says, you have not because you ask not, do you believe that tonight? Let me ask you this question. I alluded to this morning in the morning Bible study time, but how many people in here believe tonight, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Probably the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. How many people believe that in here tonight? We all believe that, don't we? And the Bible says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's what Paul said in Acts 16, verse 31, to that Philippian jailer. We all believe that in here. We have no problem believing that verse here tonight. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, I had this conversation after Bible study this morning with one of our guys that attends the morning Bible study on Wednesday. And he says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first. We know that it's what we call the rapture of the church. Amen. The catching away, the snatching away of the bride of Christ. We know and trust and believe that that's going to happen one day, do we not? We believe that. So if we believe those verses this evening, If we believe John 3:16 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Acts 16:31, if we believe those verses, ought not we also believe the instructions that Jesus Christ gave on prayer? Shouldn't we believe He says, you ask, you shall receive? Look in verse 3 there, James chapter 4. He goes on to say by way of inspiration of the Holy Spirit again, He says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So often, many a times, guys, we pray just like that old pessimist. We pray, never believe in our own prayers. We pray, and we pray with this buffer right here. Lord, I know you can answer this prayer, but, you know, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're setting ourselves up not to even believe the own prayers that we're making. Father, I know that, you know, Lord, I know if there's two or three gathered in thy name, Lord, but we're always putting a but somewhere. And it's a buffer. It's almost like a protection to not be let down for the prayers that we're praying. And guys, I wonder sometimes if those prayers are even making it past the ceiling. Don't pray like the old pessimist does. Never believe in our prayers is a prayer that may or may not even be heard. Too many in their prayer life tonight see the dark clouds out there without even thinking about the rainbow that's behind it. If you want an answer to the prayer, you're going to have to ask. You're going to have to ask if you want the answer to your prayer. I mean, what would you think tonight? Let me ask you this question. We're going to be back in the book of Luke here in just a minute. What would you think this evening if a man who had £1 million in the bank and only drew out a penny a day, had £1 million in the bank but drew out a penny a day to spend and didn't have enough money in his pocket to get food, didn't have enough money to get fuel, didn't have enough money to provide for his family, didn't have enough money to clothe his children, but had £1 million sitting in the bank over there. What would you think of a guy like that? You say he's foolish, wouldn't you? You say, man, he's just silly. But God's throne of grace is established, and it's there where we will get all the grace that we need. Sin is never going to be so strong as the arm of God, never in our lifetime. He will help. He'll deliver us if you will just come to Him and get the grace that you need. If you'll just come to Him and ask for those prayers to be answered. I do believe putting legs behind the prayers. I do believe we've got to put legs underneath our prayers. I believe if we're praying for the clerk down the street at the one-stop shop to be saved and born again, I think we need to visit that one-stop shop and make ourselves known and give them a gospel tract. I do believe that, all my heart. Put legs underneath them, yes. But guys, the prayer of your life tonight is fueled by asking God to answer those prayers specifically and in the manner that He sees it. Secondly tonight, back in Luke chapter 11, not only do we need to ask, but sometimes in the midst of prayers, we need to pray in what I call hot pursuit. In pursuit. So our prayers, there must be a petition. Secondly, our prayers need to be in a pursuit. We need to seek. Look back in verse 9 with me again, right around the middle part. He says, seek and you shall find. Now again, I refer back to John 3:16. We all believe John 3:16. We believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We believe that. We believe that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe that. And now the very same person, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is saying, seek and ye shall find. Do we believe that tonight? I believe tonight that sometimes we have to go looking for what the Lord has given us. Sometimes it takes some effort. Sometimes it takes work inside of our prayers. It takes labor to go searching for the answers of our prayers. Sometimes you got to seek it. You got to find it. When Paul preached to the Athenians, this is what he said in Acts 17, verse 27. He says that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. I used that verse this morning as well in relation to the book of Jude in verse 9. But he says, if happily that they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Guys, sometimes you got to seek. Sometimes you got to pursue that prayer. Look in verse 10 in the second part of it as well. He says, and he that seeketh, watch this, findeth. It didn't say may findeth. It didn't say might findeth. It didn't say could findeth. It says, and he that seeketh, findeth. There's the answer. If you will seek the Lord and His will for your life, for He's not far from us, as Paul said to the Athenians, ye shall find the answer. Ye shall find what His will is for your life. You will find for what His answer to your petition may be if you'll seek it. You've got to ask first. And then sometimes you've got to seek it. Beloved, we must simply know the time to seek the Lord, the time to search for His blessings, the time to solidify His will for our life. And remember, He's there, for He is not far from us. But sometimes you got to pursue that prayer. Sometimes you got to make the petition known. It can't be some kind of hidden vision or hidden thing in the back of your pocket. Make that petition known. And then pursue it. If you'll seek it, if you'll possess a pursuing prayer, beloved, I believe in all my heart you'll find it. I believe in all my heart you'll find it. I can remember the second day in this country. We had gotten off that boat in Southampton and drove here, got over here about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever it was, unpacked, did the best we could. House was all full of boxes, and it was great. And came down here on the Wednesday morning and met Brother Mel on the pavement, just right outside the door here in the back of the hall. And I got out of the car, and the first thing he said, he shook my hand. Remember, I was on deputation for 18 months, my family and I were. He shook my hand. He looked me in the eye. He says, I've been praying for you 18 months. Now, me specifically? No. I was praying for a pastor 18 months. Praying for a church to be planted right here 18 months. We didn't secure this building until 2 weeks before I got here. Guys, that's God. But that's a pursuing prayer, amen. That's the power of prayer tonight. That is asking God. That is making a petition known unto God. And that, my friend, is putting it into pursuit. Going after it, man. Thirdly, the Lord tells us, on top of the petition, in addition to the pursuit of our prayers, that many times, we got to be persistent in our prayers. Now, if there's one member of my family that knows persistence, it's that one, Darius. I when he wants something, it's, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have? It's like the dripping of water. Tink, 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 over, and he'll wear you down. Now, he's stubborn, but Nisi says he gets it from me, so does my mom, and that's fine. It's when we go after it, it's like it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and he just won't give up. But you know what? It's not necessarily a bad character.
Careful.
I don't want to compliment it. I sure don't want to promote it, but nevertheless, it's not all that bad all the time. Our prayer life should be like that. Sometimes in your prayer life, you just got to be persistent, guys. You say, well, preacher, I haven't got an answer for 16 months. What if you quit then? What if you quit then? I think back in the Old Testament over there when those Israelites were digging for that well, and they were digging for that well, and one guy came in and he started a certain time, another guy came in, he started a certain time, another guy came in a certain time, and they hit that water. And guess what? You know what happened? They hit that water. Everybody got paid the same. Some worked less, some worked little. Some quit. Some kept digging for hours and hours and hours and never hit any water. They gave up the ghost and they left. They said, I'm gone. And some of them they're just 6 inches away from that water of life. And they quit. And all it was going to be was just a couple more digs. Sometimes, guys, you got to be persistent in your prayers. If you look there in verse 9 again, he says, knock and it shall be open unto you. Beloved, sometimes our prayer life must simply be persistent. In business, Steve always said to be politely persistent. Go by and visit those people. Be politely persistent. Let them know that you're there. You're there from them like you're like a good dog. You come when you're called. I mean, remember, the Lord knows the end of the story. He knows the answer to our petition. He knows the end of our pursuit beforehand. Sometimes God desires our persistence in prayer just to show that we mean business. Verse 10, the Bible says, and to him that knocketh, the latter part, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Guys, there is no ifs, ands, and buts, or candy and nuts, and all this and that. There is none of that in these two verses. It's ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find it. Knock, and it shall be open. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. So, beloved, we need to understand that sometimes God desires us to be persistent in our prayers, revealing that we mean business in that which we're doing. The Lord will at times answer our prayers just for the simple fact because He's our friend. Sometimes He'll do that. He's our King. He's our Bridegroom. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. He's our Protector. He's our Provider. But never forget, He is our friend. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our friend. But He also says over there, because of His, in verse 8, because of His importunity, that means persistence. Even though He's our friend, the opening up of doors and the answer to prayers lies many a times in the midst of a persistent prayer life, not just a friendship. It's not that the Lord doesn't want to open the doors, nor is it that He does not want to answer the prayers, but it's a matter of persistence that the Lord wants to see. Guys, we've seen this time and time and time and time again in Scripture. I mean, we see that Abraham basically, essentially bargained with God. Intercessory prayer. I have another message that I want to preach out of that Genesis chapter 18, where Abraham himself, he persistently, and he went on an intercessory prayer before God for his nephew. Genesis 18:32 says, He says, "Oh, let the Lord not be angry, and I will speak yet, but this once peradventure 10 shall be found there." And He said, "Will not destroy for 10's sake." We know the story. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. If God would have found 10 righteous souls there, the whole population would have been saved. It's unfortunate that He did not. Jacob wrestled with God. Genesis 32:26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Moses prayed for 40 days and 40 nights in Deuteronomy 9:18. "And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye have sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger." Man, we speak of the sweet hour of prayer. Some of us, we don't even pray for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And guys, I understand the quality of our prayer is never based on the quantity of our prayer, but there needs to be an aspect of persistency, of being persistent in our prayer, pursuing that petition that we make known unto God. We see the church and the power of persistent prayer in Acts 12:5. "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." I can remember going down on Friday nights. I'd come home from the office and I would stop by the church, and no one knew that I was doing this. For years on end, no one knew that I was doing this. And I'd go through every single pew inside the church and I'd bow my knee and I'd pray over every single pew. And I knew who usually sat in each one of those pews. And I'd pray over their families, I'd pray over their children, I'd pray over the parent, I'd pray over whatever need there was. Persistent in prayer. I've done the same thing here in the wee hours of the night. And I've gone through the pews, prayed for who will one day, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, sit in that pew. God, to open up that door. I may be dead and gone when that pew is full or filled, but maybe God will answer that prayer then. But it takes persistence in prayer. That's the power of prayer tonight, guys. Jesus Christ, in the hours before His death, persistently prayed before the Father. Luke 22:44 says, "And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground." The first bloodshed from the Savior was not from the people. It was not from the scourge. It wasn't from the crown of thorns. It wasn't from the spear nor the nails. But the first blood that was dropped from our Savior was through the hours of sweet prayer before God. It's one of the most blessed events that we have today. It's one of the most blessed stories that we see. The reality of a prayer life tonight. I want to show you probably one of the sweetest, most precious examples of prayer. Turn in your Bible. It's the last time I ask you to turn. We'll be done here in just a moment. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And look down toward around verse 20, 21. Somewhere. One of the most precious stories in the Bible found in the persistent petition made in pursuit is that of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28 is what we're going to look at this evening. And it is one of the prettiest, little, sweetest stories that you'll ever find. Notice this with me in Matthew 15, verse 21. It says, "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." She said, "Truth, Lord, yet dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, guys, I realize everything you've heard tonight, you've heard before in the pulpit. You've heard me preach before. You've heard these points. You've heard this. You've heard these stories before. But I want you to get a hold of this tonight, of the sweet power of prayer, especially that petition being known, being in pursuit of that prayer, but being persistent in that prayer. Beloved, she was not asking. She was seeking. She was knocking. She made a petition known. She was pursuing that petition, and she was persistent about it. She could have walked away mad, saying, "How dare he call me a dog?" I mean, she could have expected that she accepted the fact that she was just in society and in life, that she was of too low of stature, that she was too sinful, that she was too far gone to find mercy from the Lord. She could have done that. She could have said, "I'm just done. My daughter's, you know, without hope." But she didn't stop. She made a petition to the Lord. The answer was given that was not sent to you. The answer was given that it was not sent to you. The answer that was given at first. You know, guys, look, it wasn't what she expected nor what she wanted. You know, I don't have time for you. I'm only sent into this group over here. I don't have time for you. She pursued the Lord, and the answer to her pursuit was an insult. Hey, this bread's for this group. It's not for dogs. She was persistent with the Lord. And you know what the answer was? It was blessing in the eternal record. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. There's a few uncharacteristic people that you find in the life and of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth that he makes grave examples for. She's one of them. Centurion's the other one. He says, "I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." No, not in all Israel. None. That centurion. You don't expect that. You don't expect a lady who's asking the Lord for help to be called a dog and to stay around there and go, "You know what? You're right. I'm a dog. Lord, you're right. I'm not worthy. You know, Lord, you're right. I shouldn't even be here, and I'm not worthy to even talk to you. But I know the dogs make a meal from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So basically, just give me a crumb. Just give me a, I'm not looking for the whole piece. Just give me a crumb, Lord." And he looked at her and he says, "Great is thy faith." She wasn't quitting. She wasn't stopping. This dog of a woman is a measuring rod for the children of the King. She's an example that is forever remembered and recorded on how to pray, how to make a petition, how to remain politely persistent even with the Lord. There's a relatively small number of Chinese Christians that meet in church buildings, you know, similar to ours here, maybe not as old, but regular buildings. They're registered with the government. They're limited on what can be preached and what can be taught there. The majority of Chinese Christians, they meet in secret houses, and they attempt to be out of sight as from the general public as much as possible, and especially the governmental officials. There's hundreds of new house churches in China that begin every single week throughout that country. As a matter of fact, some researchers estimate that as many as 35,000 Chinese people accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior every single day. Now, how can some of the greatest church growth in all of the world happen? How can it occur under a place, under a government that's bent on hindering the spread of the gospel in every way possible? It happens through the power of prayer. One researcher, and throughout the research I found out that he preferred to remain unnamed, he reports that it appears that the distinguishing feature of the present day church growth in China is the disciplined prayer life of every believer. Chinese Christians pray to the Lord for, one, a watchful and praying spirit, two, a burden to pray for others, three, a time and place to pray, four, energy to pray with fellow workers, and five, the right words to use in prayer. It's this manner that they wish to be a trumpet to call all people to more prayer. And it's no wonder that the churches, secret little churches, meeting in alleys, a handful here, a handful there, a handful there. They don't meet in masses. But it's no wonder that these churches are on an upward spiral, both in quantity and quality. I believe on the flip side of that, it's no wonder why in other countries, why the church is on decline in a downward spiral. There is probably more empty pulpits in the United States of America today than there has been in the history of the church. That's just a speculation, but probably. I'm hearing more and more and more pastors that have left the ministry and churches that are just without pastors now. There was research done in 1959 throughout the United Kingdom, a book written called The Empty Pulpit, of how many empty pulpits were throughout our entire country, throughout all of Great Britain. And it was in 1959, it was staggering, the loss of pastors in churches. And today, there are more empty buildings in this country, in our countries, throughout Great Britain. There's more empty church buildings than there are even people that come a few. Why am I saying that? I believe it's directly associated with the power of prayer. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you know me well enough. I believe in tracking. I believe in leafleting. I believe in any type of marketing, as long as it's not sinful. Any type of marketing that we can do to get the gospel into people's hearts, into their homes. I believe it. I believe in sticking them through the door, knocking on the door. I believe in giving them to them on the street. I believe in inviting everyone that we can to the house of God and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do that. We must do. It's our duty to do that as Christians. But it's also our duty to pray. I believe it's no mistake that we're here. Not that we're any kind of, we're nothing. We're not worthy. We're not even worthy of the crumb that falls. But I believe by all accounts that we are here because of the power of prayer. The way the doors opened, the way other doors closed, that was God through the power of prayer. So, beloved, don't underestimate the power of prayer. Don't underestimate God's will in your life. Make the petition known unto Him. If you want it, ask. Okay? Don't just leave asking it, guys. Believe in the pursuer of it. All right? Seek. Search it out. Sometimes you just got to be persistent. You say, well, preacher, I've been praying for so-and-so for X amount of years, and they're not saved yet. Keep praying. Every day, every night, every morning, you pray for that person. Throughout this year, we're praying for those 12. Be persistent in those prayers. Do we see these people come to the fruition of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? That, my friend, is the power of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this night. We thank you for the message that you've given us, and we ask you this evening, as we open up in our prayer meeting here in just a moment, I ask you, dear God, to please visit with us. Father, we look forward to the day that we will be united with you for all eternity, Father. But before that happens, I ask you this evening, bear witness with our hearts and our souls, dear God, in the dire need of prayer. Father, we may seek, we may search, Father, we may pursue it, we ask, we may be persistent, that we may knock and that door be opened. We love you, we thank you, we ask you now for your many blessings, your mighty works, in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen.